We look into the Word of God, written on the board, messengers of the gospel. I would that as we leave here this afternoon, this morning, that we would be challenged. I'd like to begin over in the 8th chapter of Acts with a very familiar passage. But yet to me, it has been a very inspiring story about Philip. I remember back many years ago when the Lord was leading us to make a change in our life and the direction and some things, the Lord used this story in part for the inspiration. And I would that it be a blessing to us. Again, reading in the 26th verse, said, "The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship." Want us to know that preceding this, or prior to this rather, Philip had been in a revival. If you read the first part of the 8th chapter of Acts, Philip had been in Samaria and been preaching the Word of God to many, many people. And there were great works being done. The Scripture said that, well, the people with one accord in verse 6 gave heed to the things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Talked about the lame were healed, the devils cast out. Philip had been in a place that you could sit back and say, surely that God is anointing and blessing this work. And keep in mind, there was something about numbers. It was more than one person that Philip was ministering to. Philip was ministering to a lot of people, and many people were hearing the gospel message and the Word of God. But the Lord came along, and we read about what was going on in Samaria. The Spirit of the Lord came to Philip, and he said, "Arise and go." I want you to get up from where you're at. Now, folks, humanly speaking, we would have said, now, Philip, these folks in Samaria, Philip and John, or John, rather, had gone to them, sent by the apostles, the disciples that were in Jerusalem, and had gone to Samaria to share with them about the Holy Spirit in this chapter as well. But we could sit back and say, now, Philip, you were the one that took the Word of God to these folks, and they need to get established. And so, Philip, you would spend your time. There might have been hundreds of people that Philip could have stayed and ministered to. But the Lord came along and said, I have another job for you to do, and I want you to get up and I want you to go. And I wonder what kind of advice we would give him this morning. Now, Philip, there are a lot of people that you could be a blessing to, and it would probably be wisdom for you to go over, and you can have the greatest impact over here. The Lord doesn't work that way. The Lord told Philip to do something that maybe in a human sense was contrary to our wisdom. The Spirit of the Lord came and told Philip, I want you to get up and go. And it said, he arose and went. Folks, when the Lord reveals His purpose in your life, and the Lord gives a job for you to do, I want to encourage you this morning to get up and go. Arise and go. We can sit there and say, well, Lord, it just doesn't make sense, and fail to be obedient to the will of God. And we can say, well, Lord, you told me to do this, but I'm going to pray about it. What are we praying about? Folks, you've heard me say before, and I'll say again, if we're not careful, we can pray ourselves right outside of the will of God. When the Lord reveals what His will is, we need to get up and go and be obedient. Now, if there's any praying to be done, the praying is, Lord, and I'm speaking about once we know the Lord has spoken. If you're not sure, then keep on praying until you are confident that it is the Lord. But if you're not confident, keep praying. But when the Lord speaks and you know His will, any more praying ought to be, Lord, help me to submit. Help me to have the courage to do Your will. Help me to be diligent to get up and go. But folks, if we're not careful, we can spend so much time praying that we fail to be obedient to the things that we know God wants us to do. Philip said he arose and went. May God help us this morning to know when to get up and go. And sometimes it means when to just stay too, when the Lord says stay. Lord, I'm going to stay then by your grace. And it makes sense to go. That's where I personally, if you'll allow me, that's where I was a couple months ago with some of the work in Pakistan. It made, well, maybe not in your human understanding, but in a spiritual sense, it made sense to go and spend time with them, to share the gospel with more people, and the Spirit said, stay. So then, Lord, help me to do that. But whatever it be in your life, it's about obedience to the Word. And so Philip got up and he went. And he found an Ethiopian. It said here he was returning. The Ethiopian was returning, verse 28. Sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Do you know that God does not always tell us the end plan that he has in mind? He did not tell Philip to start with. Now, Philip, I want you to get up. And I want you to go to Gaza, as it's pronounced here, I guess, Gaza. I want you to go there, and I want you to, there's going to be an Ethiopian that you're going to meet, and I want you to go minister to him. The Lord didn't tell him the total plan. What the Lord says is, I want you to get up and go. Isn't that like what the Lord does so many times? He doesn't always give us the complete plan, but he gives us the part that we know to be obedient to today. And then the Lord, in His faithfulness, comes the next time and shows us the next step. Well, the Lord told Philip to go and join himself to the chariot, and Philip ran thither. Do you know, if Philip would have been a little bit backward about obedience, do you know what he would have done? And how many of us have ever done this? Philip would have sat back just a little bit and said, Lord, do you want me to go to the chariot? You want me to go join myself with that chariot? Well, Lord, that chariot right over there, chariot's gone. It's too late. The Lord said, Philip, I want you to go. And Philip ran. He had to put some energy and effort. Folks, when God gives us a job to do, we need to be faithful to do it because we can wait so long until the opportunity is passed. And when the Lord says go, we need to run. We need to go do it diligently and faithfully. And so Philip ran and he heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you read? And the Ethiopian said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come and sit with him. Moving down to verse 35, Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture that the Ethiopian was reading. Said he preached unto him Jesus. He heard what the Ethiopian was reading about, and Philip began to expound about Jesus Christ. And they went forward. It said they came to water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water. There was no sprinkling going on here. They went into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. In other words, there's different thoughts on this, but in other words, the Spirit of the Lord came back to Philip and gave him another mission. He came and gave him another job to do. He caught Philip away that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, passing through, and he preached in all the cities. Still he came to Caesarea. We find that after he ministered to the Ethiopian, the Spirit of the Lord came and gave him another job to do, and he found Philip out somewhere else preaching the gospel. Well, when the Lord told Philip to go, Philip went with a ready heart and with a ready mind to do the bidding of the Lord. And when he opened his mouth and began to share with the Ethiopian, he preached Jesus. And I want to remind us this morning that there is no salvation, there is no power in any other save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That is what the gospel is about. I wrote on the board messengers of the gospel. That's what Philip was. We refer to Philip as what? As an evangelist. He was sharing the good news. Gospel means good news. Philip began to share with him the good news of Jesus Christ. Folks, there is still good news that the world needs to hear today. They're in a world of darkness, in a world of despair. The man that stopped by service this morning, there is good news for him. And Lord willing, we want to go share some of that with him. There is a place of hope that's not found in the things of this life. It's found in Jesus Christ. It's not found in religion. It's not found in what I can do for someone. It's not found in us as a body here this morning, but it's only found in us as we point people to Jesus Christ. And that's what Philip was doing. He told him about Jesus, and then he went on his way and found someone else to tell him more about Jesus. That's the gospel this morning. That's where there's deliverance. That's where there is power this morning. It's not in our own message. It is not in the psychology of the day. It is not in the wisdom of this world, but it is found in the divine power of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us this morning to be messengers of that gospel. Lord, help us this morning. It may not be to the hundreds. It may not be across the ocean. It may not be somewhere that looks, oh, that would be romantic. That looks good. But when the Spirit of the Lord inspires you and calls you, I want you to witness. Witness of what? Witness of Jesus Christ. Witness of what the Lord has done in your life. See, that's personal then. That means a whole lot more than saying, well, my church teaches. Why do I really care what your church teaches? You understand what I'm saying? But when you begin to make a personal testimony, this is what Jesus can do because He did it for me and I've seen Him do it for others. Folks, there's hope. The gospel is good news. And if ever there's a time that our world needs to hear some good news, it's today. Bearers of good news. He preached Jesus. He preached deliverance. You know, the gospel is a love story. The gospel is a story of love. It's a story of the love that God has for who? For everybody. It's a message that it's a story of love that God loves you so much that that's why He sent His Son to die for you. And when you look on people's sin and you shake your head, you say they ought to know better. They ought to know better many times. But Jesus died for them. Jesus loves them. And how can we but do the same thing to try to be there to share the hope of revival, of newness, of deliverance, of love, of power, of restoration. Jesus Christ can do that this morning. And so He baptized, and one other thing. The gospel message can still change people's lives. The gospel can still take the impossible and make it possible. There's power in the gospel this morning. And if we ever lose the vision and the practicality of that, we might as well not waste our time and come in here this morning. I still believe that Jesus saves. I still believe that the Lord is working miracles. I've experienced it. I've seen it. And I want the Lord help us to go out and share that message with somebody else. He baptized Philip and the Lord called him to move on them. Alright, you shared me with the eunuch here, the Ethiopian. Do you know where the first Christian church in Africa was? Make a wild stab in the dark. That's Ethiopia. Where the first Christian church was built was Ethiopia. I don't know all the history about it, but I have to think. I have to believe that maybe this one person, that Philip was obedient to leave a big revival and go minister to one soul. That the Lord used that one soul to go back. Maybe he witnessed to the queen. Maybe he went back. And this eunuch was obviously somewhat of a believer of the Jewish religion already because he had gone to Jerusalem to worship. But there he heard about Jesus Christ through Philip. And the Lord can take the one. We cannot always operate based on the results that we see with our eyes. There have been people that have labored for years and years and years, never seeing a result, and gone to their grave, not seeing any fruit of their labor. But folks, the Lord knows what He's doing. I want to encourage you to be faithful. And you may say, well, I'm not a pastor. You're to be a messenger. All of us are called to share the good news of Jesus Christ. You see, there's few of us here this morning. But when you go back to your homes, you have family and you have friends and you have people you work with and you have people you go to school with. They need the good news. And who's going to tell them? Whose job is it? It's yours. We are called to be messengers of this gospel of hope this morning. Over in Romans in the 10th chapter, and again, any blessing or fruit that comes from laboring to share the gospel, as Paul said, Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Any fruit that is born is because of God, and if we do not see the fruit in our lifetime, that's still God's business. Because sometimes it's easy to sit back and think, I could be more effective somewhere else and I could reach more people. But we can't base our decisions on that. We need to base our decisions on what does the Spirit of the Lord want you to do, and then leave the results or the lack of results, leave that in the hands of God who knows what lies in the future. And it's hard to do that in the flesh because we are a result-oriented people. But the Spirit of the Lord sees the big picture. So my job and your job is, Lord, I want to get up and go when you say to go, and I want to stay when you say stay, but all the time I want to stay being a messenger, sharing the story of Jesus Christ to a lost world. Over in Romans in the 10th chapter, we'll begin reading with verse 13. He said here, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. The Lord did not put limitations on the gospel. He did not say you had to be born into a Christian family. He did not say you have to come from a Church of God background. He did not say you have to have a tradition that goes back to the 1880s. He said whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord would be saved. That is the message of the Church of God. It's a message of hope. It's a message of Jesus. It's a message of oneness because we are united in Jesus Christ. We're not united in a common history this morning. We're not, yes, that can be a blessing, but that's not the glue that holds God's people together. The glue that holds us together is a common love for God in Jesus Christ and yes, for His truth and what He represents. That's where unity comes from. It's not because this is where we came from, so you better measure up here. No, it's because there's a love for the Lord. It's because I gave my heart to God, and I'm going to go all the way with the Lord. And you meet someone that has that kind of purpose and cause, you'll start finding unity. You'll start finding a oneness because of the sameness of the Spirit, the sameness of the Word, when we have a common heart. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, he shall be saved. And he went on to say, and how shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. This morning, how can people hear the good news of the gospel if there's nobody to take it to? How can they hear? How can the people you carry a burden for, how are they supposed to know if you don't tell them? We start ministering by living the life, do we not? That people can look on and see a difference. People are so skeptical of religion this morning and of Christianity because there's a lot of hypocrites in our world. So they say, well, you say you're a Christian, you go to church on Sunday, but you act the way everybody else does come Monday morning. Folks, we need to rise above that and let the message of the gospel be lived out in the way we talk, in the places we go, in the attitudes we have, that people look on and say, there's something different. There is something different about you. The difference is Jesus. It's the reality of Jesus. It's not just a profession. It's not just religion. But how can people know? Unless we tell them. You see, the Lord, there's a great need this morning for someone to be willing, yes, to live the life. But I'm going to go another step now. We can hide behind living the life, can't we? That's the most important. The most important. You can talk all you want. If you're not living your life, you are actually doing damage to the work of God. But if you're living the life, then who can the Lord count on this morning to be willing to open their mouth about it? And if we're not careful, we will be so afraid and hesitant to share the gospel with people. The gospel is about good news. It's not about condemnation. It's not about pressing people down. It's about offering hope. It's about offering a way out. How can they be sent? How shall they call on him who they have not believed? And it said then, how shall they preach except they be sent? He went on to say then in verse 20, he said, Isaiah is very bold and said, I was found of them that sought me not. Those that were not looking for it. Those that maybe even you think want to hear the gospel. He said, I was found of them. In other words, I went where they were and I shared the truth with them. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. There's a place when someone comes asking, would you share with me? But Isaiah said, I went and they weren't asking for me. And I went and shared truth. But to Israel, he said, now this starts to sound a little discouraging in a way. All day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Isaiah went, and many of the people did not listen. There's one of the prophets, the Lord sent him with a message, and God told them before they went, they said, they're not going to listen to you, but go tell them anyway. Have you ever been there? Well, I'd rather stay home then. If they're not going to listen, then why put myself out to suffer grief? The Lord said, they're not going to listen, but I want you to go tell them. You know what? Sometimes that's what it means to be a messenger of the gospel. It means knowing that someone does not want to hear what you have to say, and you tell them anyway. And I'm not talking about going forward in brashness, in an arrogance, and well, I'm going to just do it anyway if you don't want to listen to it. I'm not talking about that, but I'm going talking about in the love of God, doing what the Spirit of the Lord said, knowing that you're going to suffer because of it. It is this morning a reality that messengers face rejection many times. And again, we're not talking about just the quote-unquote preachers now, okay? Pulpit preachers. We're talking about you. We're talking about all of us. There are going to be times, and the reality is that your message of Jesus Christ will be rejected more than it will be accepted. But folks, it's not time to close up shop. It's not time to say, well, then I'm not going to share because I just get rejected over and over. The Lord, the scripture says that the word, speaking of the word, it is the savor of life unto life and death unto death. And I would rather someone go out into eternity having had the opportunity to have heard the word of God than to go, and I kept my mouth shut. At least we reached out. At least we tried. At least we endeavored. And it, on another note, it is a serious thing to reject the messenger of the gospel. And I will say that the Lord has called all of us to be messengers. He's called all of us to take the good news. But our callings are all different. Some are called in different capacities. There are those that God calls to a full-time work to minister that gospel. And I want to say it is a serious thing to refuse the messenger of the Lord. And I want to give you a scripture. It's over in Matthew in the 10th chapter. And I know that maybe we don't focus or read a lot about this. But in the 10th chapter of Matthew, begin reading with verse 11. Jesus addressed this subject. He said, into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, Inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. He was talking about the disciples that he had commissioned. Take the gospel. Go share the good news. And he said, whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Sheep, because you're lowly. You're not arrogant. You're not there to fight. You're not there to argue. You're not there to cause trouble. Sheep, willing to sacrifice in the midst of wolves, those who are waiting to devour you. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And he goes on to speak more about that. But I take note that here Jesus was saying, if there are people that will not receive you, you see, it's a serious thing not to receive the messenger of the Lord. There's judgment upon that, folks. Many times we say, well, if you don't receive the word, Jesus dealt with both things. If you don't receive the man of God, there's going to be judgment on your life. I'm not talking about just anybody that calls himself a man of God. We're talking about those that are truly people of God. And if you refuse to accept them, the scripture said it's going to be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah that was rife with wickedness than it will be for those that have rejected God's servants. Servants of God know that they're going to face rejection. But I believe it's important that everyone realize it's a serious thing to deny the servant of the Lord. And he said, you and the words you speak, and what words should we be speaking? We should be speaking words of the gospel. Words that minister hope. Words that will bind up. Words that will bring restoration. Words that will bring deliverance. And all of that is only through Jesus Christ. I thought we'd get further than we did this morning, but I believe it'd be good to stop now. The Lord has called us to be messengers of the gospel. Lord, help us to realize we have some good news for the lost world. There's some good news that we have to take to the world. Let's be faithful and let's be diligent. Let's not be cowards. Let's not be afraid because we might be rejected. Because if one person through a lifetime of labor will hear those words, it's worth it, is it not? There is no price too high to pay if it can save one soul. We have some wonderful news. The Lord's counting on you this morning. Like I said, there's more on this that I believe the Lord gave me to share. Maybe later. But the Lord has called all of us to be messengers of this glorious gospel. Amen.